Far this morning, what's up, family? Good to be with you guys all. And as we start our service today, I just wanted to take a second to note, if you saw how many kids we just had leave the auditorium, we have about 68 teens that we know of who are associated with disciples, children of, they have a relative who's a disciple, and 35 young teens. That's a total of 103 kids between our 7th grade through 12th grade. We have a lot of kids. We are a family ministry, amen? And this morning we're going to be talking about reaching our generations as we focus this fall on acts of faith. And I do want to talk a little bit personally as we get started, because we got a whole generation of children coming up, don't we? A new generation being born. And if you don't know, I know we've made this Facebook official, but Manami and I are expecting our second baby. And so this generation, these younger groups of kids, it's expanding, it's growing. We were expecting it, planning it, amen? And one theme, though, from a conference we're going to be talking about that we just recently went to, the North American Family Conference, was start younger. We've got to start younger with our kids. You know, we had our teens and young teens leave so we can kind of speak a little more openly, amen? And I know for my family, as for me and my house, we've decided that we're going to commit to having regularly weekly family devotionals. A weekly time where we spend together, and I'll tell you, my daughter, Emmy, she loves Family Devo. It's never too early to start Family Devo. In fact, she's so excited about Family Devo that a couple weeks ago, when we said we're having Family Devo, she ran in the room so fast that she tripped over a toy and face planted in my shin and started crying. As we know as parents, it goes quickly from laughter to tears. And then back to laughter again, when she saw the guitar, and then she got excited again. But she just came running in the room, and I love it as a parent to see how excited she is to have family devotionals. You know, it's a time that we have, you know, for all of us, we're at different ages and stages, aren't we? And so these devotionals have to be age appropriate. You know, for us right now, it's just a lot of singing. And maybe we say a prayer and say a short one line about this is what the Bible says about this. And it's really fun, but one thing I will say is sometimes, as married couples, we have to get on the same page about our expectations for our family devotional. You know, Manami and I had to sit down and talk about what do we want this time to be, and what are we going to do, because sometimes husband and wives, right, we can have a little bit of a different expectation about how our family devo is going to go. So sit down and have that talk and plan it out. But what I want to ask you today, if you're a parent of a child of any age, do you have a regular family devotional time? Are you having a weekly time with your family where you sit down and you talk about God as a family? You know, I've gotten to see some great examples. I think about people who have inspired me. Sam and Laura Garrison going to their house and hearing him play songs with his girls and dance in the living room. That's what they do. That's part of what they've done for Family Devo. Damon Curtis dressing up like Jonah and trying to make a funny accent that always sounded like not what he intended to sound like. But what are we doing to have our family devotional time? Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families, he says that two of the biggest things to promote connection in our families that we need to have is, one, a weekly family time with the whole family, and then two, one-on-one times with each parent, with each child. And what I want to say to the fathers in the room is that, fathers, we need to step up spiritually. Fathers, we got to step up spiritually and lead our family in being the one that makes this a committed time in our week to have a family devotional. Amen? That's just a side note to my lesson, but I wanted to talk to you guys. We're going to talk about reaching our generations, and specifically this morning, we're talking about youth and family ministry. We have many generations in the church, don't we? We've got, you know, from old to young and everything in between, we have a lot of generations. And I'd like you to view this Sunday as kind of a back-to-school Sunday of sorts, all right? You know how we have back-to-school night? Well, we got to have a spiritual back-to-school Sunday where we talk about and reset in our ministries and talk about what's going on in our youth ministry. We recently came back from the family conference in Denver. You guys heard about that? I know we've shared about it. It was an amazing and inspiring time. And we're passionate to talk to you today about this topic. As we've said, a new tagline that I believe my father-in-law and some other people have talked about and come up with is from cradle to campus, right? How are we going to help our kids get from cradle successfully into the campus ministry? Or also, as Phil Arsenault said at this conference, we're looking at things from womb to tomb, right? We want to help people be faithful their whole life. And our goal is to help the youth in our churches come to faith and then remain faithful throughout their whole life. But before going further, I think we have to talk about an important question to answer. I think it's a little confusing if we go to the next slide. What is youth and family ministry? Have you ever wondered, what is youth and family all about? You ever wondered that? I know about teens, right? And I know there's marrieds and there's singles and there's all these things. But this is a new name that we've given. We used to just simply have a teen ministry. You guys remember that? Many of you in this room were teen workers at some point. I hope that doesn't bring up some kind of a, you know, schema or bad memory of all the places you had to drive and in your broke down car and all hours of the night, driving all around New Jersey or wherever. And so just to give you guys a little bit of a history lesson as far as where we come from, you know, we've got some sincere motives wanting to see our children become Christians, but really we come from a campus ministry movement. And so what we try to do is run our teen ministry like a campus ministry. And we try to help baptize our kids in a vacuum, outside of the influence and outside of consideration of their Christian families. You know, many teens became Christians, but sometimes there's stories of parents finding out the night of the baptism that their child was getting baptized. Could you believe it? Parents not involved in the spiritual life of their children. And so unfortunately, when some storms hit our movement, many of our kids chose to leave God. And that's a very painful thing that we're going to talk about later. We realized, though, that we left parents out of the equation, when really that was God's plan all along. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it makes it abundantly clear that it's the parents' job, not the teen workers' job, to teach their children to love God. Let's turn to the next slide and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." What an incredible scripture. Really, in our youth and family ministry, this has become one of our theme scriptures. You know, around 2004, 2005, there was a shift to move from being just a teen ministry to being a youth and family ministry. See, when we're calling it a teen ministry, the mentality is, well, that's just for the teens, right? The teens, they're over there. But parents don't feel as much ownership or need to be involved. You know, trust me, back when we had a teen ministry, there were parents that were very involved because it was their conviction. But there are also, it helps us to know that we're a youth and a family ministry. The temptation can be to drop off your teen and expect that they're going to come back to you converted, fired up for Jesus, right? Here's my teen, you help them out because, hey, I'm struggling with them. Now, conversely, youth and family as opposed to teen ministry includes parents. I don't want to say to parents of children of all ages, this is your ministry too. This is your ministry too, and we wanted you to view it that way. Many people have found this title confusing, however, it's actually accurate. You know, youth, if you look it up on dictionary.com, is defined as the period of life from puberty to the attainment of full growth, also adolescence. So our youth are our kids that are from kid and puberty to full growth. So anybody below puberty, we're considering children. And our youth and family, that means that youth equals preteens, young teens, and teens, all right? Does that make more sense to you guys? What is youth and family ministry? We'll just go back a slide real quick. So, you know, our youth and family ministry, fourth grade and below, is just children, right? And that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about today, but by no means less important. In fact, our children and what Sam and Laura and many of you are doing, teaching, they are so important, and they're going to come into the youth and family ministry. You know, one of the huge themes of the Denver Youth and Family Conference, the family conference, was that we need to start earlier when it comes to teaching our children about God. It's never too early. We pray with our daughter. We sing songs. We're teaching her about Jesus. We so appreciate the work that our children's ministry does. And if you go to the next slide, today we're here to talk about the preteens, the young teens, and the teens. All right. Does that make sense to you, see this image? So we've got the umbrella of the youth and family ministry, which includes the preteens, the young teens, and the teens, and they're all of their parents. Some of you got kids in like all three, right? Or two of them or whatever. You know, I know Colin Lopez, you got a bunch of them in there. So these are the three subsets beneath the umbrella of youth ministry. Preteens are fifth and sixth graders, and Bruce Nussbaum is going to be coming up in a little bit to talk about them. Young teens are seventh and eighth graders, which the Taguchis lead that ministry, and Anthony will come up. And then teens are ninth through 12th grade, which Menominee and myself, we lead that ministry. So today, as we continue talking about acts of faith, let's look and turn to Acts chapter 16. We're looking at verse 1. We can go to this next slide. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish believer and whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. That's just a snapshot from the book of Acts. But on his missionary journey, Paul comes across a young disciple named Timothy, and he takes him under his wing. The believers in Lystra and Iconium, it says they spoke well of him. This was a great and bright young man. But in many ways, this was an act of faith on the part of Paul. You know, Paul wasn't his parent. Paul had no reason necessarily to invest in him. He had no idea if it would be worth it to invest in Timothy. Timothy's mom was a disciple, but it appears that his dad probably wasn't, the way that the Bible talks about it. Paul had no way of knowing if Timothy would do a good job on this missionary journey and be helpful, let alone would Timothy stay faithful. But he took him under his wing anyways. Amen? That is an act of faith, and we're going to come back to talking about that. If we turn to the next slide, Psalm 68, verse 6 says that God sets the lonely in families. Many of us know this scripture, but what you may not know is that the King James Version translates it, says God sets the solitary, or the one who is single, in families. This word can also be translated as solitary or as single, not as lonely. You know, as we share about the youth and family ministry, many of you who are in this room are singles. Where are my singles at? We have a lot of singles in our church. And for this purpose, singles means an unmarried adult, whether you're in campus ministry or you're a single, or whether you're a widow or a widower. You know, in this conference, my father-in-law, Frankie, shared that he'd gotten together with their singles leader in Denver. And that he shared that with the singles, this brother Michael, he shared that when singles hear it's a family conference, we automatically think it's not for us. You know, in a lot of ways, at first we can accept that, but in other ways we have to not accept that. Because singles are a part of the family too. Singles are a part of the family of believers. And singles have a place in the youth and family ministry. And I want to say to our singles in the room, we need you in the youth and family ministry. You are so needed. You're a part of the family. And here's an interesting thought to chew on. We go to the next slide. Jesus was single. Paul was single. But think of the impact that they had on families. Think about all of the things that Jesus taught, and families listened to him and followed him. And think of all the things that Paul wrote. Paul might have not had a family of his own, but he did have a family of his own because he had taken Timothy. And he was, when you read the letters and the epistles, they were connected. He was in a family because the church is God's family. And I want to encourage you singles, you are in a family. Just because you're single doesn't mean you don't have a family. You know, both Paul and both Jesus, they taught about marriage and parenting, and they were part of families. Menominee and I have close friends who are single, and they share with us the challenges of seeing others get married and have kids and feeling left out, left behind. Imagine, though, how Jesus must have felt. You know, his first miracle was done at Cana in Galilee. You know, at this wedding, he did his first miracle, but before the wedding started, Jesus went stag, right? Jesus went solo. He was single at a time where it was very expected of you to have a wife. So maybe other people can't relate to you, but Jesus can. You know, Jesus and Paul were by no means less than because they weren't married or didn't have kids. And I want to say to you, you're not less than because you're not married or don't have children. And in fact, Paul said that you can do more, that you can actually help the church in a greater way. But we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We share in the same spirit and we'll receive the same prize, which is heaven. You know, God's heart is for all of his children to be a part of the family together. Often we're separated into the marriage ministry and the singles ministry and the campus ministry and the teens. But we got to get together more. And we can't let these ministry designations separate us. God's heart is for all his children to be together. We need to expand our view of family and see every ministry in the church as part of the family, right? Singles, you can have a huge impact on the youth in our church. We need you. You have a lot to give. I appreciate many of our singles who mentor our youth. You guys are amazing. Yeah. Amen. I know for me, a lot of my mentors were single men, single brothers. They were people that my parents brought into our household. So I want to say this, that on the flip side, marrieds, what are you doing to pull the singles into your families? What are you doing? If you want your children to have mentors, what singles and campus are you bringing into your home? They're not just somebody to have babysit. They're not just somebody that they can do something for you. But we need to make sure that we pull them in and say, what can I do for you? This is a mutually beneficial relationship, amen? What singles, what campus are you bringing into your home? Who has dinner with you? Who does a game night with you? Who spends time with your children and with your family? How are you including them in your family's lives? When was the last time you had a single over for dinner or to spend time with the family for a game night or movie night with no other ulterior motives? You know, who are you adopting, pulling in, and including? We all want our kids to have spiritual mentors. However, we gotta open up our homes and our families to outside influence. Let's go to the next slide. Studies show that the top three influencers in the spiritual life of youth are number one, parents, number two, five adult spiritual mentors in the growing up years, and thirdly, a thriving youth ministry. You know, when we look at five spiritual mentors, that's throughout the growing up years. You know, it could be a married brother or sister, it could be a single brother or sister. It doesn't say that where they have to be in life. What matters is, are they spiritual? See, mentoring is huge. I can think of many people in my life growing up that helped me and spent time with me. People my parents adopted that became part of our family. Notice how the five adult mentors, they don't have to be married. I have plenty of singles mentors. You know, as we continue, I'm going to ask Bruce Nussbaum and Anthony Taguchi. They're going to be coming up, and first, Bruce will be talking about the preteens, and then Anthony about the young teens ministry. And singles, people who are parents of young children, I want to encourage you, don't tune out when they talk. This is for you, too, because you're a part of the family, and we want you to understand what we're doing so you can be a part of it. Amen? You know, biologically, yes, these are someone else's kids, but really, they are all of our kids. Amen? So right now, we're going to have Bruce Nussbaum come up and talk about the preteen ministry.
Come on, Bruce.
Come on, Bruce.
All right, good morning, church. My wife, Lynn, and I have had the privilege and honor of working with youth ministry for over 20 years, and, you know, God is amazing how he can humble us. You know, I really feel like I know less now than I did 20 years ago when we had no kids. And so, you know, as a preteen ministry, we really try to keep things simple. And what I wanted to do is just share with you, what is the preteen ministry? How are we building it? And how can you help us to build the preteen ministry? You can go to the next slide. This scripture here, I think, captures what our goal is in the preteen ministry. And this is Jesus' prayer before he's going up to heaven. And he says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you and began with you before the world began. And you know, in this scripture here, you know, Jesus is just simply talking about, my prayer is that they, meaning us and our children, can see that you are the true God. And you know, and that really is the challenge for our youth. There's so many gods they see out there. And if you go to the next slide here, Really, our goal in the preteen ministry is for the preteens to see God, to see His glory, and to want to be with Him forever. That's just a simple, simple goal that we have. And, you know, as an overall ministry, you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to prepare the preteens to want to become disciples of Jesus, to follow Him. And, you know, along the way, a lot of our focus is just on friendships, having them build friendships and have fun. You know, just having a lot of fun. And, you know, we want to create a safe environment. Now, I got to confess, I walked into the preteen class this morning, and some of the kids had brought swords, and they were fighting with these plastic swords. And I'm like, oh, what? You know, Russ over there, you know. So, you know, we want to create a safe environment, but we want them to have fun. And, you know, the goal as a church is that we work together. That, you know, every conversation that you have is important. That we work together as a church, as parents, and as teachers to help them to see God's glory and to have fun. Go to the next slide. So, you know, this age, Ross had mentioned it's fifth and sixth graders. That's our preteen ministry. And it's always a challenge for us, especially this time of year, because this age group, they have an amazing amount of energy. Now, we have the blessing. Our class is in the gym. So we let them run around. They love coming to class. You know, the other thing about preteens is they are like the ever-changing winds. You know, their moods, their attitudes, how they feel about themselves, it just changes, you know, constantly. So what we're trying to do in our classes is come up with topics that apply to them as they're going through these life changes. Another thing about preteens is one moment they'll want to be like a kid. You know, they want you to treat them like a kid, but then they want to have, the next moment, they want to have the responsibilities as an adult. So it's this back and forth time in their life. And, you know, other things here, you know, they love groups, so we really focus a lot on groups. And we also, you know, they can look really tough on the outside, but these are just a precious youth that we have in our ministry. And as you get to know them, you can really see their hearts and, you know, their desires of who they want to be when they grow up, what careers, who they're going to become as a disciple. The other thing about our preteen classes, when they come in, it's not children's ministry. It's no longer, you know, singing. You know, they don't want to sing the children's ministry songs. You know, they want to be part of the youth ministry. It's completely different for them. And so we really strive to give them that environment. On the next slide here, an overview of how the ministry works is, we have Sunday classes, and like I said, they're in the gym. So what we're doing in our classes is we're teaching them biblical principles that they can apply to their everyday lives. And so we do it in a way that's almost like a Bible discussion. You know, we'll do a class that lasts about 10 to 15 minutes, a lot of interaction, a lot of questions. Some of them want to go very deep, some of them it's more shallow. So we do different things. We do classes, we break them up into to discussion groups where we can have pointed questions for them. So I encourage you as parents, you know, talk to your kids when they come out of class. You know, what did you learn? What was your one takeaway? What was one thing that really hit you from the class? We also have activities on a monthly basis. We're doing activities, and since we're such a large, diverse group, what we're doing is multi-location activities that are open to everybody. So we have leaders that will organize activities through the Montclair Midweek Group. We have leaders, my wife and I, organize activities through the Morris Plains Midweek. And they're open to everybody. You know, whichever group, whatever relationships your kids have, any of those are fine. So we do it on a midweek basis. And this is a parent-run ministry. So it's really up to us as parents to get in there and really make these great. And I encourage, you know, everyone as well in the congregation. A lot of our focus is fun. You know, campus ministry, singles. You know, we need your legs. We need your youth. We need you to be able to come and help do fun activities. So if it's a passion in your heart to really want to connect in that way, let us know. That's exciting. So these are our preteen leaders and teachers. I wanted you to see who they are. My wife and I work with the Morris Plains Midweek Group. The Ibrahams and the Holtz work with the Montclair Midweek Group. So those are your preteen leaders organizing the activities. So that's who you need to get tied into if you have a preteen or if you want to help in any way. And then some of our teachers, the Caspers help teach classes, the Cablins, and the Torres family. And you know, typically our teachers will come in and they'll teach for a couple years. They'll just kind of rotate on a weekly basis. So parents, what can you do? So what you can do today is make sure you're connected to your midweek group. Make sure you're getting emails. Make sure that you know who your leaders are in your group. One of the other things you can do at the preteen class at the sign-in, every Sunday we have a slot for parent observers. That means for parents to come in and see the class and help with the class. So where can you sign up? At the sign-in table at the preteen class. We'll put you on a sign-in up Genius, and it will remind you. Another thing, the preteens, for parents, we don't use electronics in our class, so we use paper Bibles.
All right.
Okay, even the teachers, you know, paper Bibles. So, you know, we ask that you have your preteens bring their Bibles to class. And then the last things here are just, again, volunteer parents to activities. And also volunteer as mentors, like Ross said, 5 mentoring relationships. So it's so important that the preteens have mentors from all walks of life. And finally, get your preteens to camp, because that's where they really get to get a glimpse of God and have an amazing, amazing fun time. Thank you.
All right.
What's going on, church? You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. So my name is Anthony Tagucci. They also call me Gooch, right? And it's a nickname that I've had throughout my years growing up. And so you guys have the wonderful privilege of having great kids in a youth ministry. And I want to go ahead and talk about this particular age. So in Luke chapter 2, what I wanted to read is this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for a festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom, and after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was within their company, they traveled on for a day. When they began looking for him among the relatives and friends, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. You know, I wanted to really just sort of think through the gravitation of this passage. There's many things that you can pull out of here, but a couple observations. There's only one reference in the Bible between the ages of when Jesus was born and when he began his ministry, and that's this passage here. And if you notice, he was 12. Now, he was 12 years old. Interesting enough, why this was very fascinating to me is that he actually sat among the teachers, people older than he was comprehending what they were saying, and he was what? Asking questions. We ask why young teen ministry? This ministry is not a very common ministry amongst our fellowship of churches. But a few larger churches, they have carved out between our preteen and our teen ministry, this group called Young Teens. And that's the 7th and 8th grade kids from 12, like what we saw with Jesus, from 12 to 14 years old. And this is a critical age in which these kids actually start developing their own opinion, and they start figuring out what they believe in and how they want to identify themselves. They start making decisions about their lives around this time. In fact, when these teens come in, or these young teens come into service, right, for example, they see people singing. And if the worship is great and they're getting into it, they say, you know what, I want to sing too. I think I like singing. I think I may want to sing one day. Or if they see the people ushering, wow, these people serve. I want to serve. Maybe I want to do that. Okay. On the flip side, if they see people in the service and they're on their phones and they're disengaged, then they think, well, why do I need to pay attention? Okay. Why do I need to listen to the Bible? And they make these observations and they start thinking about what they want to believe in. And as a fellowship, it's really an honor for us to give them a reason why they should believe. Why should they should have a faith in something greater? What brought us all together? And that's our opportunity here. You know, we have three couples that teach. And, you know, there's my wife and I. And then you have two other amazing couples. Neil and Emmett Farley, that sits right over there. And we have Paige and Karen Pinnell that are right there. You know, if you, yeah, you guys are fine. Go ahead. They all bring a very unique dimension to the class. You know, very unique characteristics, personalities. I mean, see Karen, it's just amazing the kind of vibrance that these couples give. You know, but the heart is what you see when it comes in the survey. You know, there is a curriculum that we're trying to put together. I don't know if you guys really know this, but because there's not a lot of focus on this age group in our fellowship around the world, what we try to do is figure out what do we want these kids to walk away with after the 2 years. And so our core focus is building faith. We want them to believe, we want them to inspire faith, we want them with our lives and the help of everyone in this room to want to say, you know what, there's this God that people talk about, this Jesus person that we do communion with. I want to learn more. And you know what? There's a power there that I want to understand. That's what we want to try to do with these kids. And so what we do is we create these lessons, and we're not perfect. We're trying to figure this out, where we're standardizing our lessons so that we can reuse and recycle. And in fact, once we finish these rotations, we actually give these to other churches around the world, free of charge. We don't want to charge for anything, because we believe that our kids are going to be our future. And so we want them to know God. We want them to teach them how to connect with God. We want to teach them and inspire them to know why it's important to pray. Why do we worship? Why are we in here singing? Why do we take communion? Why do we read our Bibles? Okay. We also want them to teach them the importance of godly character. We are not perfect by any means, but God says, listen, if you aspire to follow the strength of character that Jesus has demonstrated, and the role models in the Bible, even when they failed, but then they changed and repented and they got on track, there's a power behind that. Whether they become a Christian or not, there's a power behind following godly character of integrity, right? Of being honest, right? Of being disciplined, etc. There is a huge cultural, ethnic diversity that we now face in our society here in the U.S. And because of this multicultural, you know, setting that we're in, there's a lot of religions out there too. We need to help our kids understand why we believe things and what do other religions say. And so the apologetics, right, the viewpoints of what others are thinking, we need to help them understand these things.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a lot of hot topics that are out there. Okay. Things with same-sex attraction, okay? There are conversations that they learn in school, right? How do we talk about these things? And how do we love people and talk about it very respectfully, but then also inspire them? We don't know how we're gonna talk about this. We haven't figured it out yet, but these are the things that we wanna talk through, okay? And we need your help. Now, our teachers, if you notice, the lead teachers are all married couples, right, that have children that have been a part of this church or are currently with us now in the youth ministry or in the kids' kingdom. But we also have campus students, our college students come in. We also have our teens come in and talk to the kids. We want to have singles and other couples come in as well. Because we do feel that if these kids, they go on to college, they go on to work, and we have people that say, you know what, we can actually be successful in our careers and do this, okay? And it's because we follow God and we live out the principles that Jesus laid out to us. We are blessed and honored and successful. And if we're not, you know what? It's going to be okay anyway because we trust God. We want our kids to see that. Amen? You know, Bruce talked about our monthly activities. And so that's piggyback along with the preteens on that piece. But we also have something else that we do with the teens, and that's this Friday devotional that we have every third Friday of the month. And Holly and I organize that. You know, sometimes we do the classes together with the parents and teens. Sometimes we have our own class, okay? And there's a mix in between there. We would like our kids and the young teens to show up. In fact, I don't even think that I need to teach all the time. It'd be great to have some guest speakers. And so let's talk through that, okay? Let's talk through how we can work through that together. Some things that I just want to close out with some thoughts, and that is to improve the dialogue that we have with our parents. You know, there's this opportunity for us, like what the preteen ministry does, to have our parents come and observe the class. Why is that? Because we don't know if we're always hitting the mark with our kids. We don't even know if we always connect with them. We need feedback. We need to make sure that we're helping to provide the right circumstances and environment for our kids to get the best opportunity. We want to put that dialogue. We want to make sure that communication is there. And we also need to provide feedback when we need help with the young kids. You know, I think in good intention that when we have service, we have our kids, you know, we have them like listen to the play games on their phones and watch videos and all that stuff. What we're finding out is that when these kids, you know, 8 years later, they get to our young teen class, they don't sing in service, okay? In fact, they're texting their friends in service, right? I don't know what the answer of how to solve that, but a dialogue with the parents to figure out how do we address this, I think is going to be helpful. The other thing is we want them to bring their Bibles. Okay, last year, on average, 20% of the kids brought the Bibles. 20%. Okay, and I would send emails, and still the number stayed the same. You know, and like the teen and preteen ministry, we're going to probably start moving towards paper Bibles, okay? Because I love technology. I use it a lot in work. But we just, for some reason, can't crack this nut. And we want people to bring their Bibles. If they don't bring their Bibles to the church of all places, where else are they going to open it? You know, help me out. Help me out. And finally, we just need to contact you. Okay, so my email is up there. Please feel free to reach out, ask questions, help us to think through how we can engage you, and we look forward to a great year. Thank you.
Yeah, let's give it up for Bruce and for Anthony and for all the work that they do with our youth. You know, I do want to say that they really do a lot, and it helps us in the teen ministry with the foundation that you as the parents and they working with those ministries do. For parents who are feeling overwhelmed, I want to say the five mentor thing is not at one time, okay? It's over the child's life, all right? So just try to focus on find one, all right? I know that can be hard enough sometimes. So you know that it changes. You have a mentor, and then maybe life changes, then you find a new mentor. But it's five over the course of their growing up years. Amen. teens. You know, one thing that we're thinking about with the teens, this is when we see the fruit of our labor oftentimes. This is when we start to see the fruit of our labor come to fruition. And also we look towards the future, with this, which is campus ministry and beyond. The teenage years can be some of the most challenging and the most enjoyable years for family. This is the ministry where we really start to see the fruit of our labors. The years of prayer, devotionals, discussions, lessons come to fruition when we see teenagers who decide to make Jesus Lord. We understand that not all the teens will decide to follow Jesus while in high school. And some may become Christians in college and beyond. But the goal of the youth workers, and Manami and I, is to help the teens who want to become disciples, amen? And to disciple them and transition them successfully into the campus ministry. That's the future aspect of the youth and family ministry, preparing them to go out in the world as outwardly focused disciples. You know, I send out the calendar every January with all of our activities and big events. If we go to the next slide, just a brief overview of our schedule. The first Saturday of every month, we have Solid Rock in New York City with the All New York Teen Ministry. After every Solid Rock, we will go to Wendy's for the Solid Rock After Party, which is awesome if you've ever been. It's really, we take over Wendy's and it's crazy. Every Solid Rock also, there is a parent meeting going on during every Solid Rock. Hey, you're driving to the Bronx, you might as well stay and hang out at Lehman College. However, once a quarter, this is mandatory. We ask that parents and teens come to it. So does that make sense? Every time there's something, if you're going, and then once a quarter, we really say, we need you to be there. It's a devotional for everybody. The third Friday of every month, as Anthony says, we have Youth and Family Devo, which is for the young teens, the teens, and their parents. I will say this past one was incredible. It was amazing. We had so many people come out. And I want to say that I hope that they're all like that moving forward. Let's make it a priority to be at Youth and Family Devo with our kids. We also have Bible talks, activities, and lessons at midweek. We have various special events. The teen lock-in is kind of our counterbalance to our teen camp. So in the summer times we have teen camp, and in the winter time we do the lock-in, which is an overnight event. And the lock-in always falls on MLK Day weekend because it's a three-day weekend. So even though they stay up all night and go crazy, they have Monday to rest and relax. Does that make sense? So even if you might not have a calendar ahead of time, just assume if you're a teen parent that we always have the lock-in on MLK Day weekend, no matter what dates that is. We also have a Six Flags teen rally coming up, has been announced. We do a teen-led conference with the Boston Church. So there are many big church-wide activities we do as well. One time for Solid Rock, we took all of the teens to the Bronx Zoo and had a devotional there, so that was incredible. If we go to the next slide, I send out weekly emails to our teen parents. Please read the emails, please. Because that's where you get all the need-to-know information. My email is right here. If you're not getting these emails and you think you need to be, please email me and I can put you on the list. You know, let us know if your teen has a big game or a performance going on. We're a family and we want to try to come and support. Maybe sometimes that's our teen event, is that we go to the game or we go to the play or that we go to the concert. You know, I will say this. I want to ask you guys, communicate with us. I wish that more parents called me and asked me, what can we do to help my teen? I want to talk about behavior and service. You know, the young teens leave during the sermon, and so they have their own class, but our teens are with us throughout the sermon and throughout the whole service. And with behavior and service, parents, we need your help. Especially, I'm the worship leader, and I can't be in two places at one time. You know, we're in a cell phone age where kids have smartphones. You know, there's a reason why schools have a no-phone policy in the classroom and they take away their phones. It's because you cannot focus on something when you're looking at your phone. A lot of our kids are here, but they're not here. And I think we have to have more of a discussion about this, but maybe we need to decide as a ministry that we say we're just going to have paper Bibles in service and phones go in my pocket before we walk in the door. Because our kids are not hearing the gospel because they're looking on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram while they're in service and texting each other and laughing. We need your help. Talk to your kids about church, before church, about their behavior. Talk to them about not distracting others. Not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting the people in the row in front of you and behind you. We may need you to come and sit with the teens. You know, my parents, when I was a teen and I didn't want to pay attention and I would look at another thing or do my homework, they would come and sit behind me when I tried to fall asleep in church. You might need to be right up on them and come and sit right behind them. You know, paper Bibles are encouraged. Some teens might not be responsible enough to use their phones during service. They say, I've got the Bible app, but that doesn't teach you where to turn to in the Bible. So part of learning how to use your Bible is to use your Bible. You know, talk to me about your ideas if you have ideas. This is your ministry too, and we want parent involvement. As we close, you know, one of the most interesting things we talked about at the conference in Denver had to do with what specifically parents do to help their kids. We polled the parents and we polled the teens and asked them questions. And believe it or not, some of it we did at camp, so responses that went to our whole church-wide fellowship were from our kids, as well as kids from a few other ministries. And we asked them this question. If you could change the slide. What do you do that has the most spiritual impact on your children? What do you think people said? What? Going to church, praying. You know, 27% said talking together. 20% said having a strong marriage. 15% said parental sacrifice and example. Guess what your teen said was the number one thing that helps them spiritually, number one thing that you do. When asked, what do your parents do that help develop your faith? They said, attendance. Just bring us to church. Bring us to teen activities. You bring us there, and that's the number one thing you can do to help us spiritually. Too many of us are missing youth and family devo in midweek. Our kids are not present. We have way more kids in our contacts list, you know, our roster, than show up on a regular basis. And I know sometimes it's a battle, but just getting them there can change the course of their lives. When I was a teen, I didn't want to go to camp, but it was teen camp that helped me become a disciple. I know it's an extra crazy time in life, but you have a small window of opportunity to impress upon them, like Deuteronomy 6 says, what is most important. What will your actions tell them about what is most important in life? We have the singers come back up, and we'll close out with this thought. Singers, please come back up. And Larry's going to come up and say something. Singers and band, please come up. You know, as we close, I want to talk about our adult children who haven't decided to follow Jesus, who have graduated high school and moved on, and the parents of those kids. I know firsthand the pain that this can cause in the family because of what's going on with my sister. I've seen my parents pray and cry and deal with the struggles that come with that. When we see other people's kids become Christians and transition to new life stages faithfully, you know, we're happy for them, and yet we can still feel heartache of our own from our own situation. But we can never give up hope for our kids, no matter how old they get. We've got to band together in prayer. God can do miracles. For you parents who have children that have come out of the youth ministry and either maybe have left God or are not Christians right now, we pray once a week with our staff, and every week we are praying for those kids. We know who they are. We pray for them by name. Larry, Russ, Rob, myself, and Sam, and Matt. We pray for those people because we believe that they can come back to God. You know, let's remember, youth and family means preteens, young teens, teens, and their parents. Singles are an indispensable part of our church family. Attendance is one of the biggest things that you can do to help your preteen, young teen, or teen. And our finally, if we go to the last slide, our vision is out of Jesus. Larry's going to come up and say one thing. Matthew 18:14 says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. God does not want to see any of our kids perish, and neither do we. I believe that working together with parents, mentors, youth workers, we can see a thriving youth and family ministry, and that salvation will come to each and every household in New Jersey. Amen.
I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I really want to thank Ross and Bruce and Anthony and for working with you all the time today. We felt like this is so important to our family that we wanted to devote this whole service to talking about it. And we appreciate your help. Our family children's ministry, Sam wanted to make sure you know you can sign up today. If you haven't, please do so. We need you. We're going to close out with just a great song about the happy day when we decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand and sing and continue to be the family of God.